Did you know it costs you less than a penny a week to listen to Radio 4? And since Radio 4 transmits around 350 programmes a week, each show costs you approximately 0.002571 new pence. And here on Cliché, we guarantee you'll get your money's worth.
Cliché! Welcome to Cliché, starring Carol Heyman, Nick Maloney, Simon Malloy and Brian Southwood.
The dark, forbidding ocean depths conceal many mysteries, but surely the greatest of these is the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle. In an area of the Western Atlantic between Bermuda and Florida lies a stretch of water which has been the source of many strange and inexplicable occurrences. In popular folklore, this area has become known as the Bermuda or Devil's Triangle, for in the last 35 years it has been responsible for making enormous amounts of money for 40 authors, 10 screenwriters, 12 journalists, and more than 15 freelance TV documentary producers. Why is it that so many people are making so much dough from this small stretch of ocean? First, let us examine the facts.
Fact! 1955, fledgling author Charles Bernstein releases a book, The Secret of the Bermuda Triangle. Although the book merely sensationalizes a series of totally unrelated events, within 18 months, Bernstein becomes a millionaire.
Fact, 1962, The Triangle of Satan, author Dick Linkletter, number one international bestseller.
Fact, 1967, I Lost It in the Bermuda Triangle, author Patty Collins, film rights sold for over $1 million.
Fact, 1974, The Bermuda Square, A New Perspective, edited by the Flat Earth Society, paperback sensation of the year.
And so it goes on. Money, money, and still more money. What is the explanation for this mystery? We spoke to one man who's bought many of the Triangle books.
It's perfectly simple. For me, it's a spiritual malaise. I can't believe in God. All theology seems too arbitrary, too incredible. So I choose to believe in small, green, bug-eyed monsters from an alternative dimension. I mean, you gotta stay sane, right?
Is the explanation that simple? Or is there more to this enigma we call the Bermuda Triangle? Probably we will never know.
And next week, in Unending Enigma, Nick Maloney looks at the shooting of the film The Curse of Tutankhamun and tries to discover why so many mishaps beset the crew. Why did the leading man trip over a camera cable and stub his toe? Why did the 91-year-old director mysteriously suffer from a heart attack while making love to three nubile Egyptian girls? Why, when the second unit cameraman removed his socks one night, did one of them smell and the other did not? Was it the ancient curse at work? Nick Maloney will be asking that question next week, and again coming up with the answer, probably we will never know.
Hi, Jim. Here are the plans for the new Bernstein Frobisher scheme.
Oh, thanks. Just drop them on my desk.
What's wrong, Jim? You seem down.
Heck. I've discovered I'm suffering from sudden hair loss. As a top sales executive with a dynamic young company, I can't afford to let my image slip.
Shall I let you into my secret, Jim?
What secret, Wiggy?
I once suffered from sudden hair loss, too. Then I discovered tip-top toupees.
Don't tell me you're wearing a toupee, Wiggy.
Not any ordinary toupee, Jim. This is a tip-top.
Tip-top? Yes, I've heard of them. They use a new revolutionary scientific technique where artificial fibers are interwoven with your natural hair.
That's right.
To produce a toupee that looks and feels like you've got a small furry animal on top of your head.
Absolutely right, Jim. And the beauty part is they're completely undetectable.
But you see, Wiggy, I play a lot of squash.
Yeah?
What happens if my tip-top toupee slips off during a game.
No problem, Jim, because your tip-top comes complete with unobtrusive flesh-colored chin straps.
Chin straps, Wiggy? Well, what's that?
Well, attached to either side of the toupee, Jim, are two straps that loop under your chin, cross over around your arms and shoulders, down your chest, and fasten unobtrusively around your waist to keep your toupee firmly in place.
What happens to the tip-top when you shower, Wiggy?
Well, Jim, it gets wet. Shrinks to the size of a small beer mat, but that's okay, because tip-top toupees come in handy packs of 10. You simply release the chin straps, loosen the shoulder buckles, unlace the waist harness, and slip on another one.
Sounds too good to be true, Wiggy.
I know.
But what happens in a high wind? Doesn't the tip-top lift up at the front?
Negative, Jim. The whole toupee lifts up and remains suspended about 2 inches above your head, but those handy shoulder straps prevent it from flying away.
Gee, Wiggy, it sounds swell.
It is.
But how long will it take me to get my tip-top toupee?
No time at all, Jim. Just send a sample of your own hair, and the tip-top people will match it with one of their 3 super colors, black, blonde, or green, and you will receive your handy pack of 10 toupees plus the straps and harnesses by return post.
Hell, I'm gonna do that, Wiggy.
Right.
I'd rather look ridiculous than be an old baldy coot.
Absolutely tip-top toupees, Jim, for the man who's past caring.
If you're bald as a coot and you don't give a hoot, wear tip-top toupees. Tip-top toupees. Tip-top toupees.
Coming up soon, Rod Stewart, What Really Went On, the ultimate expose by the one who was there all the time. He was there at the beginning, he saw the women come and go, and he's still there now. At last, the real truth in a cliche exclusive, Rod, Britt, Alana, and me, by Rod Stewart's dog. Has Rod found happiness? Has Rod settled down? Why did he really leave Britt? Rod Stewart's dog tells it all. The time he got a beating for what he did under Rod's bed, the singing style Rod stole from him, the hairstyle Rod stole from him. Rod Stewart's dog tells it all, only in cliche. That's coming up soon.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
No, thanks. I'm just looking, thanks.
Have you anything particular in mind?
Not really, no, thanks. I'm just looking, thanks.
Shirt, jacket, trousers, suit?
No, thanks. You know, I'm just sort of looking, thanks.
We've got some really neat jackets in. They're really popular.
Yeah, I wasn't really looking for a jacket, thanks.
You're standing by the jacket.
Pardon?
You're standing by the jacket.
Oh, yeah, I'm just looking at them.
I see. So you're just sort of standing around looking at things you don't want to buy.
Well, I've no idea what I want, really.
Well, that's not quite true, is it?
Sorry?
I mean, you know you don't want a jacket. And you don't want a Christmas tree, do you?
Well,
or
no.
A large green frog, oh, or £2.5 of raspberry ripple ice cream.
Oh, no, I don't want any of those.
Oh,
I want
so
clothes.
You do know what you want. You want clothes, sir.
Yes, I want...
Women's
yeah.
clothes?
No, men's clothes.
Good. So we've established you want men's clothes. Right, how about shoes?
What?
How about shoes?
No,
socks?
No, I want...
Underpants?
Not really, I
trousers,
want...
Trousers, jeans?
No.
Right. Must be a shirt, then. That's the only thing left. What colour?
Pardon?
You want a shirt. What colour do you want?
Well, I don't really... I'm not really sure, really.
Well, what's your favourite colour?
It's not... blue.
Right, so you want a blue shirt. Why didn't you say? What's the point of looking at jackets when you want a blue shirt?
I'm sorry.
Plain or check?
Well, I'm not really
well,
sure...
Well, there's only two to choose from, plain or check?
Well, I plain. No, check.
Right, check blue shirt. Size.
Sorry?
What size do you want? Come on.
Well, it's 15.
Don't be so stupid. You're 16 easily. You don't even know your own size.
Am I?
So, blue check shirt, size 16. There you go. $12.95.
How much?
$12.95.
It's a bit on the expensive side.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realise you were so cheap and nasty, sir. You'll want to see our special mean range, especially for the stingy man. Here's one,
well,
sir.
No, it's just
there
that I was...
There you are. How about this? $5.99. Fall apart in 2 days. Of course, still it'll suit your pocket.
No, thanks. Look, I'll just leave it, thanks.
What?
Well, I think I'll leave it, thanks.
Oh, no, you won't. I haven't wasted my time showing you shirts so you can leave it.
Well, look, I'll tell you what, miss. I'll have a look around and if I don't see anything I like...
Don't try that come back lady bit with me. It's just an excuse to get out of the shop.
Well, thanks anyway.
Oh, Annie! Go! Go on! Go on! Get out!
Sorry
don't
about
come
that.
Back! I hate you!
Time.
I hate you! Get out!
Okay, right.
Go on!
Do you realise that every glass of whiskey you drink destroys the...
Thank you. and Grandma.
We grandma.
We're really doing Grandma good. We're doing Grandma. English grammar really good. We don't use no double negatives. We never don't do that.
We do grammar good.
We try to never speak infinitives, to never not do that.
We do grammar
good. We into grammar.
We grammar.
We into grammar really good. We into grammar.
Grammar really good.
We always speak with clarity. We don't belong the group.
We grammar.
I have the E, except that the C. I E.
We grammar.
We into grammar. We into grammar really good. We into grammar.
Grammar really good.
We always speak with clarity. We don't deglump the groove.
We into grammar good.
I have the E, except that the C. I E.
We into grammar good.
Fancy another one, Colt?
Oh, I've had four already and I'm driving.
Go on.
Oh, go on then. Same again.
What time are you seeing James?
Half an hour.
Make it a double then.
Cheers.
Two more brandies, please, mate.
I'd rather leave while I'm in love. While I still believe.
Jane, love, Colin's here. Thanks, Mum. I'll be down in a minute.
I'll keep my dreams and just pretend that you and I.
Hi.
Whenever.
Where'd you fancy going? The red line?
Great. When somebody's heart gets broken, usually it's mine.
Fancy another before we go?
Get me an orange juice.
Sure. I'm having a brandy.
What, another one?
Yeah. I'll be all right.
Goodbye. So if you wake and find me gone, hey babe, just carry on. You see, I need my fantasy.
It's no use.
Never mind.
I'm sorry. I just had too much, that's all.
Think before you drink, before you try to make love. You know it makes sense.
And now on Cliché, Eskimo Cookery Class, edition number 15479. This week, fish.
Hello there, and on Eskimo Cookery this week we'll be looking at fish again and trying to find yet another way of preparing fish. So tonight let's look at fish dishes for children's parties, fish lollipops and fish crisps. First, fish lollipops. For this you need our old friend the fish and a lollipop stick. Simply insert the stick into the fish, like so, and serve cold. For fish crisps, make the crisps in the ordinary way and serve them in a bowl garnished with a large fish. Now, I've had a lot of letters from Eskimo housewives asking what to do when their husbands come home from work and say, oh no, not fish again. So next week we'll be looking at ways of disguising fish to make it look like beef or pork. For this, please have ready one large basting tray, a fish moustache, a pair of fish dark glasses, a set of cowbells with a small loop for the fish's neck, a name tag with "My name is Daisy" written on it, and a falsified cattle pedigree document. So, that's roast fish and Yorkshire pudding next week on Eskimo Cookery.
I'm standing in the Prince of Wales Theatre at Drury Lane after the opening night of Arthur Miller's play All My Sons. As you can see, the seats are slashed, the ground is littered with empty beer cans and broken bottles. The sad tally of the night's carnage: over 100 arrests and more than 50 people injured, including two policemen. Disturbing evidence of a growing trend in the theatre today: theatre hooligans.
It's a sense of belonging. You're with friends. You drink together, you watch the play together, you fight together.
Nigel is a 47-year-old stockbroker from Kensington. He travels all over the country to watch the work of his favourite playwright, Arthur Miller. He's a self-avowed bobber boy and theatre fanatic.
Obviously, you don't go to a play looking for aggro, but if it starts, it's certainly advantageous to be tooled up.
Tooled up?
Well, lead pipes, rubber tubing, bicycle chains, that sort of thing.
And how does the trouble usually start?
Well, after the opening of Death of a Salesman, for example, we came out of the theatre and swarming down Drury Lane were about 200 or 300 Stoppard fans who'd just come out of the new production of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. There was some altercation, a few taunts, then they started throwing things.
Like what?
Opera glasses, seat cushions, car keys, briefcases, bricks. And so we waded in. I mean, if somebody's going to dismiss Arthur Miller as a presumptuous, unimaginative classicist, he's going to get his head kicked in. It's a question of pride.
Hooliganism is a problem which is spreading throughout the arts. We've already witnessed the bloodbath at the opening night of the Proms, the full-scale riot that erupted at the Whitworth Art Festival, and now violence in the theatre. Is there any solution? Will the law ever catch up with the theatre hooligans?
Hi. I thought I'd do you a favour and come over and talk to you.
Did you?
Do you live near?
A couple of miles.
Yeah? How are you getting back? I've got wheels.
Yeah. Why didn't you bring the rest of the car?
What?
I've got a lift, thanks.
Oh. So, what sort of sounds are you into?
Sounds?
You know, music. La musique.
Oh, most things.
Huh? Like what? Give me an EG.
Oh, I don't know. The Police, the Beatles.
Beatles?
Yeah, why? What am I supposed to like?
Haven't you heard any N4s? Fatty and the Dids? Mr. Carver?
No. I've never heard any of them.
So, what else do you like? Something besides the Beatles?
Telephone.
Who?
Telephone. Haven't you heard of them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Well, that's some nice stuff.
Mm. White lampshade. Green wallpaper.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I caught the first album.
Trapped at a Party by a Boar.
That was the title?
Yeah.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, some really excellent stuff.
You've heard it then, have you?
Sure, yeah. I'll catch most of the new stuff.
What about, Green Finger in the Air on the Tabletop?
Who?
Green Finger in the Air on the Tabletop.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right.
What about,
how do you spell that?
T-H-R-R-P.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you really know your band, don't you?
Well, I try to keep up. And I have had a couple of letters printed in The Enemy.
B.O.
Yeah, they're good.
No, you've got B.O.
Who, me?
No, you've got B.O., the band. Haven't you heard of them?
Oh, sorry. Right, yeah, sure, yeah. Oh, of course I have, yeah.
You know something? You're a short-sighted, pretentious little fool.
The band?
No.
What? You mean me?
The album track. From White Wallpaper's Cheese Sandwich album.
Are you taking the mickey?
Yeah, they're good. They're really good.
No. Are you taking the mickey out of me?
Yes.
You are?
Yes, the band. You know, yes. Steve Howe, Chris Squire, and the Buggles.
Oh, so, yeah, sorry. Right. Hey, listen. How'd you like to go to bed with me?
Get Lost Creep.
Hey, I mean the band.
Yeah, and I made the first album, Get Lost Creep.
Now on Cliché, the winner of the Woody Allen Desolation Award for the most depressing light entertainment program.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Franz Kafka Laughter Hour. So meet your star and host, old Misery Guts himself, Franz Kafka.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm so depressed. Last night I was talking with F and told her of my plans to marry W if T didn't disapprove. She threw a fit and refused to read Z's new novel about R. My whole life is like alphabet soup. But now, seriously, folks, let's meet my first guest star, that little old wine drinker, Dean Martin.
Hi, Franz.
Hello, Dean.
Well, Franz, what are we going to do?
Well, Dean, you know, when I was on your show, we both sang the little old wine drinker me.
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought that now you're on my show, we could both commit suicide.
Sounds great to me, Franz. Take it from the top.
That is the last in the present series of the Franz Kafka Laughter Hour. Starting next week, The Objectivity of Moral Judgment, a series of lectures hosted by Max Bygraves.
That was Cliché, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, with musical accompaniment by Pete Lingwood and starring Carol Heyman.
For fish crisps, make the crisps in the ordinary way and serve them in a bowl garnished with a large fish.
Nick Maloney.
Do you realise that every glass of whiskey you drink destroys the...
Simon Malloy. We've already witnessed the blood bath at the opening night of the prom, the full-scale riot that erupted at the Whitworth Art Festival, and now violence in the theatre. And Brian Southwood.
They use a new revolutionary scientific technique where artificial fibers are interwoven with your natural hair to produce a toupee that looks and feels like you've got a small furry animal on top of your head.
Cliché. Cliché was produced in Manchester by Ron McDonnell.
Good night, Mr. McDonnell.
Well, that's all from Cliché for another week. Some of you may be interested to know a Cliché record is available from most record stores, priced £4.99. A book of the series is also available, priced £3.50. Also, the Cliché packet of instant fudge cake mix is on sale at most supermarkets, priced 67p. Also, from next Tuesday, the Cliché Northern Square-Lipped Rhinoceros, with highlights from the series printed on its buttocks, is on sale in southwest Sudan for £1,500. And finally, for all you Cliché fans, a special limited edition of the Cliché Dwang, the large bar wrench for tightening nuts, available from most auto stores, price £6.50. And for official members of the Cliché Fan Club, This week's secret message from Captain Cliché is Wonga Bim, Snarp, Brunk, Meow, Bark, Thursday.
He'll just make you wish you were dead. A terrifying new movie to shock you and appall you in a way you never thought possible. He is cunning. He is deranged. He is a gay gorilla, half crazed with lust, and no man is safe. The Rapist. He's coming after you, mister. A terrifying new movie.
Look, for heaven's sake, I've just been assaulted by an 8-foot gorilla.
Sorry, sir, these are routine questions I have to know. Did you struggle?
Did I struggle? He's an 8-foot gorilla!
Did you encourage him in any way?
Of course I didn't encourage him.
Did you hit him? Did you scream?
He's an 8-foot gorilla!
Was he armed?
No. He just had hands you could park a car on. He was bigger and stronger than me. What was I supposed to do?
Would you describe yourself as a promiscuous sort of person, sir?
No. What's that got to do with it, for crying out loud?
He's waiting. He's watching. He's coming after you, mister. The Rapist. A film made by women for men. See how you like it.